Hello, med students. My name is Zach Olson, and thank you for downloading this week's episode of the EM Clerkship Podcast. Before we get started, a few housekeeping things. First, Rosh review. When I recorded the last few months of episodes, it was in advance so that I could focus on finishing residency strong. And so I kept promoing Roshcast at the end of these episodes when they weren't putting out new content. And I'm sorry about that. That's kind of what happened there, in case you were wondering. The second thing, Cody Cooperis has been doing an especially great job of pumping out episode summaries lately. And so you can find those page-long summaries on the website, emclerkship.com, to pull up during your shift if you're having trouble remembering what we covered during an episode. And then last announcement, I'm an attending now. Done with residency. I've been thinking a lot about some really tough, kind of heavy questions recently. Like, why do I do medicine? Some of you have been like asking, like, why do I do this podcast? And that is actually a really hard question for me to answer. That's been hard for me. And so I've been thinking a lot about that. I've been thinking a lot about just medicine in general, wrestling with this whole idea of how we basically bill these huge amounts of money to patients. We maximize that bill. With half of these cases, is my brain even on? Am I actually like thinking hard and earning that money and like maximizing my training? Or do I just take the easy path, drop a prescription for some Percocet, schmooze with the patient a bit, and then move the meat? Medicine is just a very lucrative business, I've found, and that makes me feel uncomfortable sometimes. And so I've just been like processing all of this. And then to go along with that, lots of you have sent me emails recently asking about tips on being a new resident, things I learned in residency, just asking for advice on really practical aspects of being in emergency medicine. And so I've been reflecting on that too. And for everybody who was requesting that, here it is. That's what I wanted to focus on for these next several weeks while everything is still fresh in my head. My goal with these next several episodes is to just give you some really real, no bullshit advice or thoughts I've had, I guess. All my opinion, obviously. I basically wrote down a list of everything non-clinical that I could think of that I learned in residency or that have been on my mind that might be helpful for you to hear. And it's not going to be in any particular order. I'm basically just going to read through my list as I wrote it down, kind of casually discuss it, and then I'll cut the shows off around 10, 15 minutes, I guess. And this is going to take several weeks to do this. But I think it's going to really help you. My advice as somebody who, you know, went through it and just finished. And I will warn you, this style is going to feel very different from our usual style. It's basically going to be me like rambling and sounding kind of crazy at times, but I hope you find it helpful and interesting. And if not, just like unsubscribe for like a month and then check back and we'll be back to the normal stuff. So without further ado, and again, in no particular order, let's get started. Starting at the top of the list. So one of the things that you're going to be looking to do during residency, and especially towards the end of residency, is it's very important that you get set up with your disability insurance before residency is over. And so sometime usually in your third year. Now you'll have probably some disability insurance like as a resident that maybe just like came with your program. But I'm talking like your real, your personal individual disability insurance policy. You ideally want to get that set up around your third year. And the reason is that there are like very, like this is very true. There are resident discounts that you get for signing up as a resident, and that money-saving discount will apply the rest of your career. You can lock in that discounted price and you'll be able to keep it all the way through until like you retire, until you no longer need the disability insurance policy. And so that like will save you a ton of money. You just have to like keep it in your mind that you have to do this as a resident, get that individual policy set up. And we can do additional episodes on that in the future. That's a quick one. Moving on down the list. This is one that I can, you know, credit one of my attendings for. This topic started actually when we were learning about disability insurance. And I was talking to this attending, and he's like, you know, Zach, what I was taught was that there are three ways to completely ruin your medical career. And yes, one of them is getting disabled, not having good disability insurance. That's probably one of the top three things that you need to focus on, things that'll just kind of surprise, like, your career's over. But there's two other things that he recommended that all doctors pay very close attention to. So the first one, in addition to disability, said much more likely than you getting disabled is that, he said first, you know, is that you will run into some sort of issue, some sort of substance abuse problem, drugs and alcohol. He said that is much, much more common out there than becoming disabled. And so that you need to be very careful around alcohol, avoid drugs, et cetera, et cetera. But that is one way that doctors very much get in trouble. That is, like, statistically well known. He said that I suppose I didn't really think of this, but it totally makes sense. He said that the other thing you have to be really careful for is just watch out for sexual harassment, basically. He said, you know, patients can say things. He said, watch out with your interactions with nursing staff. Just be very careful. How do I say this? Just stay very wise with your interactions with colleagues and patients of the opposite gender, because sexual harassment claims will get you in big trouble really, really quickly. And I'll just kind of leave it at that. Let's keep going down the list here. This is just super random stuff. This is kind of interesting. So the next one I wrote down, the importance of finding, like, a true purpose that kind of drives who you are and what you do. And the thing that really got me thinking about this, so I'm a Christian, right? And one of the books of the Bible, and I recommend that you read this book regardless of your, like, faith background, just because I think it's really good. It's called Ecclesiastes. It's in the category of, like, wisdom books. And basically, Ecclesiastes, it's almost like this thought experiment written from the perspective, supposedly, of Solomon, like the successful, wise, rich king, looking back on his life and, like, asking himself, like, why did I do all these things? You know, why did I accumulate all this stuff and work so hard? And the Ecclesiastes, very much from, like, a philosophical perspective, addresses this whole concept of work, and not just, like, you know, working to get by and make a paycheck, but why do we do over and above what we're required to do? Like, what drives that and what should drive that? And again, regardless of your faith, I think that Ecclesiastes would be a very interesting, I think you'd find it interesting to read. It's a pretty quick book of the Bible. I've been thinking a lot about this, finding purpose in what you do. And there's, like, a bunch of pitfalls I've found. Man, I this is already going way slower than I thought it would. This is gonna take a few weeks. Okay, but so here's a couple of the pitfalls and the traps that I think are out there with your purpose. So the first one, I think that it is a mistake to think that we do things in order to, you know, do something great or to be remembered someday. And what made me think this, I actually thought this well before residency started, and I was at Ohio State. And I was walking through our hall where we have all of our lectures. And on that wall, there was just this long line. It would just extend from, like, when you turn the corner all the way down to the side of the building. And it was all these plaques of, like, I think it was the faculty of the year, that type of thing. And you'd see this in different places around Ohio State as well. Like, these famous doctors and professors and I remember looking at that, and you just see these plaques, and they're covered in dust. I had no idea who any of these people are. Some of them were within 20, 30 years of me. No idea who they were. And it just, like, got me thinking, like, these people were at the very top of their game. And, you know, me, as someone who's even interested in what they had done, like, I still have no idea who or what they did. They're kind of forgotten. And, you know, it made me think, like, I don't even know really who my, like, great-grandparents were. I don't even know them. And so I think that working really, really hard with this, like, mindset overriding goal that we're going to, like, do something, like, great and be remembered forever and, like, you know, all that, I think is probably a dangerous way to think. A second trap that I've seen kind of with, as I like within myself, as I've been like trying to figure out why I do what I do, is you think like, well, I'll just do what I love. Like, I love emergency medicine. Enjoy your shift. But the example I will give here is, think about everyone who has like started a small business in something that they were passionate about, like in a hobby. And so let's say like, you know, you love paintball, and then you start your paintball business. Or like in my mom's case, you know, she loves reading, she loves books. And so she started a bookstore. And it's interesting in that the things that you are passionate about and the things that you love doing, as soon as you turn them into your work in your job, they suddenly become, at least sometimes, less enjoyable. Like, I love emergency medicine still, but that fact that I love that causes me to almost take it home with me more. It makes me prone to being like a workaholic, and just like, I'll lose sleep over something that happened during a shift. Like, that's not good, right? You know, it's more, there's more to work than just like doing what you love, because quite frankly, what drives you on all of those horrible, horrible days that, you know, equally offset like the good days. And you're just like, why do I do this? And, you know, there has to be something that you have to have an answer to that at some point, because it's not always, you know, and I'll say this later, it's not always like a great time. And then while I'm on this, and again, this is going to take forever to get through this list, but I hope you're enjoying this. The biggest trap, I think, that doctors, and I know like we have a bunch of like nurse practitioners and medics, and all it applies to all of us. But I think that there is a tremendous danger in placing our like personal identity in our job. And I think it's really hard to not do that, because, you know, I've been in school my whole life getting ready to be an attending now. But I think it's very dangerous to have my identity being, I'm an emergency medicine doctor. Unless you, and I'll give you the example here, like, oh man, this can get me in trouble. This is just my opinion. But you go on Twitter, like, read people's Twitter's handles. Like, how do they identify themselves? If, you know, if it's just a professional Twitter account, like, I get that. But you, like, we've met those people who, you know, and like, I'm one of them. So I'm saying this as someone who's like personally struggles with this, who you like want to go out and do something like fun with them, and all they can do is talk about work. Like, they don't have any identity outside of work. I think that is very dangerous. And I think it's born out of, I don't know, this is going to sound deep. I'm not trying to be like deep or anything, but I think it's born out of like insecurity. You know, I think a good question to ask is like, who am I if, like, I don't know, like my arms fell off and I couldn't practice medicine? Like, does that destroy my whole sense of who I am? And the answer should be no, which then begs the question is then, well, who am I? And so really asking yourself some of those deep questions. And again, like, I think Ecclesiastes is a good place to read, but just take some time and think about it. I think it's going to be beneficial to you processing the bad days, processing just some of the things that are going to happen to you along this path of being a doctor or a nurse practitioner or whatever we do. Whew, that was a long one. Let's go to another one. So, and it kind of, it's similar. So the next point that I wrote down is, so I know, let me preface this by saying, like, I know how I sign off all of my podcasts, like, keep working hard, keep studying, and be sure to enjoy your shift. And like, I know what my website says, like, I'm super passionate about emergency medicine, right? But I don't want you to get the wrong idea either, because it'll mess you up. And so emergency medicine, though I do think it is like the best specialty out there, I love my job, but it's not all, like, if you heard that song, it's not all sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows, and everything that's wonderful, right? It's not like that. It's not, there are lots of bad days, and there's lots of real issues that we have to deal with that suck. Like, try going through a shift and like telling like back-to-back people like, hey, surprise, you have cancer, right? Like, there's real low points that you have. And the only reason I'm telling you this, because again, I still love my job, I think it's like a great job, but I just don't want you to get like derailed when something like bad or upsetting happens, because it's like gonna happen. Like, it's just not perfect. Like, the world is not perfect. And I just want you to have like a sense of realism to go along with that optimism of how great our job is. Like, it's not always great though. And I just think I needed to say that. And wow. Okay. So we are through 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. I think I'm going to cut it off here this week. There's going to be more coming out next week. Again, just kind of check out for the next month if you don't want to hear any of my like ramblings. But I thought a lot of you would maybe be interested in this. Like, these are like real thoughts that I have in no particular order. It's just, you know, the chaos of Zach's mind. And so I hope you like it. Send me an email, zach@emclerkship.com, zack@emclerkship.com with any comments or questions. I'm sure I'm going to be getting a lot of emails about this stuff. Like, I'm just bracing myself. I'm not even to the good stuff yet. And so until next week, keep working hard, keep studying, and be sure to enjoy your shift.